Praise the Lord. What a wonderful time of worship that was. Thank you for joining in. God deserves all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
It's so wonderful to see everyone on Zoom as well. And we're thankful to God for everyone, from our little ones to the seniors. I was reading about this tough old cowboy who once counseled his grandson that if he wanted to live a long life, the secret was to sprinkle some gunpowder on his porridge every morning. Well, the grandson did this faithfully and lived to the age of 93. And when he died, he left 14 children, 28 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the wall of the crematorium. Friends, we've been working now for several weeks already on the Beatitudes. And after giving us the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about what our character and attitude as Christians need to be and our relationship with God. He then moves into a type of influence we need to have within the world, our relationship with others. And he tells us that we as Christians are to make a difference. That we should be a great influence on those around us. You know why, friends? Because people are watching you. They're watching me. I heard of a pastor who was making a wooden trellis on the side of his house for a climbing vine. And as he was hammering away, he noticed a little boy watching him. The youngster didn't say a word, so the pastor kept on working, thinking the lad would leave, but he didn't. Pleased with the thought that his work was being admired, the pastor finally said to the little fellow, "Are you trying to pick up some pointers on carpentry or gardening?" "No," the little boy replied, "I'm just waiting to hear what the preacher says when he hits his thumb with the hammer." Friends, we are always influencing someone, either positively or negatively. People are watching you. And what do they see? Do you agree, friends, that what they observe has an influence on them? And it should be. Jesus has energized us to be persuaders for him, to be influencers for him. And in Matthew chapter 5, we went up to verse 12 last week. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, Jesus speaks now of two metaphors, namely salt and light, two images that were and still are very common. And today I want to talk about salt. Now, you listening to my introduction, maybe you thought that I was going to preach about being explosive, like gunpowder, but no. I want to talk about being influential, like salt, for God, friends. But first, did you know that the word sugar is never used in the Bible? You didn't know that? Oh, there's cinnamon, there is cane, there is honey, but no sugar. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus says, "We are the salt of the earth." Isn't that lovely? Matthew 5, verse 13, let's put it up. It says, Jesus says, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon men. Another man said he wished that Jesus had said, you are the jalapenos of the earth. And that if this chili has lost the zest, it's like a bell pepper, only good for pizza. But he didn't use those words. Today, friends, we really don't think a lot about salt. We hardly consider it unless you have high blood pressure or you're eating a steak. Most often we think of salt as a condiment that sits on the table, in the dining room table, with pepper in a bottle with holes on the top. In other words, we don't pay a lot of attention to it. And yet it is so very important. You know, in preparation for this sermon, I found some interesting facts about salt. Do you know that 40 million tons are required each year to fill our needs? Did you know that the Greek author Homer called it divine? Did you know that the Greek philosopher Plato called it the substance dear to gods? Do you know that Shakespeare mentioned salt 17 times in his plays? You know, I was reading this as like something, and I went to go and look at the picture and study it, although I've seen it several times. And it's true that Leonardo da Vinci wanted to send a subtle message about purity lost when he painted the Last Supper. Now you go home and check it out. Not now on your phone. In that painting, an overturned salt cellar is conspicuously placed before Judas. Isn't that something? Did you know that in the ancient Greece, the trade involving the exchange of salt for a slave gave rise to the expression, he's not worth his salt. Did you know that special salt rations were given to Roman soldiers as pay and was known as salarium argentans, the forerunner of the English word salary? Did you know that thousands of Napoleon soldiers died during the retreat from Moscow because their wounds would not heal because their bodies lacked salt? Do you know that salt makes up 0.4% of your total body weight? One more. Without enough salt, muscles won't contract, blood won't circulate, food won't digest, and the heart won't beat a one single beat. We are the salt, friends. Salt is important. Without a doubt, salt is an essential part of life. Jesus says, you are the salt of the world. Do you see how essential you are? Do you see how important you are to God? Meaning that God is depending on us to make an impact for him. In Psalm 84, verse 1 to 4, and then we throw in verse 10 as well. I love this passage. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty? My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have a young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. they are ever praising you. Better is one day in the courts, in your courts, than 1,000 elsewhere. Friends, dwelling in the house of God, dwelling in God's presence is a wonderful and comforting place to be. And if it wasn't for the restrictions placed on us through the COVID-19, this place would be packed. But yet in the same breath, friends, sometimes we get so caught up in the dwelling that we forget about the living. And part of our living is to be salt of the earth. We love our church. We love coming to this place. We love worshiping the Lord who has given us such a blessed life. So why would we want to leave a place where God's presence is so strong and go outside of the sanctuary to those places where God seems absent? The question really gets to the core of what it means to be the church today. If the church really is going to touch lives of people with the good news of Jesus Christ, friends, listen, it has to happen beyond these walls. Do you agree with that? We have to influence people for Jesus Christ out there and not hide our influence in here. John Wesley teaches, the church is not our parish. The world is our parish. We've come here not because this is the destination of our faith life, but that you and I can be equipped and empowered to go out there. Amen. Friends, our effectiveness as disciples does not depend on our success according to the world standards. If we are working only to be the most influential, most prominent, most attended, powerful congregation, then we are working towards the wrong goal. We are missing the point of what it means to dwell in God's presence. The point is not to give glory to ourselves. Don't give glory. It's not about giving glory to ourselves and a tap on the back. No, sir. It's about giving glory to God. And doing that requires who we really are. And who are we? We are the salt of the earth. Jesus doesn't say, you know what? He has a suggestion, guys. You should be the salt of the earth. He doesn't say, don't worry, you will be the salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Do you see that? This invariably means we must think outside the box in every sense of the word, outside of the sanctuary, outside of the normal way of doing ministry, beyond the way we've always done it. The question then becomes, what do we do? How do we act as salt? As we look at what salt does, friends, we can see how we can be salty, influential children of God. Firstly, salt is a seasoning. Salt has always been one of the most important food seasoning there is. Salt gives taste. I've read that in some countries, that in prisons, the prison authorities withhold salt from the food in punishment to the prisoners. Salt by itself doesn't taste very good. But when it's applied to food, friends, it unleashes the flavor. Gordon Ramsay, you know that fellow who gets all heated up all the time. He loses it, man, on the TV cooking shows. He gets red in the face, he yells, "That this is terrible. There's no seasoning. taste this, it's bland. He's basically saying, hey, there's no salt in the food. There's not enough salt in the food. And it makes him angry because salt is such a crucial component of any dish. The first thing Helen asked me last night as we were sitting down to eat, she said, tell me if there's enough salt. Friends, Job 6, verse 6, Job said, can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Job 6, verse 6, can flavorless food be eaten without salt? It's terrible, eh? As Christians, we are God's seasoning to the world. Just as salt adds zest and fires up the taste buds, we too should be making life more tasty for others. Christians should be adding spice to the spiritually bland world. We are saying through our lives, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We give taste to the world that is sinful, bland, and without joy. We add flavor, divine flavor. Salt must be brought into contact with its object in order for its power to be released. We are called to season the world with the flavor of God's love and God's grace. Secondly, salt is a preservative. For hundreds of years, people didn't have the refrigeration system we have today. So they used salt to preserve the meat. Do you know that salt was rubbed into the meat before it was stored? Why? So as to hinder the process of decay. There are two substances mentioned in the Bible that are very small, yet extremely influential: salt and yeast. They picture opposite forces in the world. Do you know that while yeast is actually a fungus, it causes decay? Salt is a preservative that holds back decay. You got it? And this is what we should do as Christians, friends. We are to hinder the work of Satan and the moral decay of the world. Using this way, salt doesn't make something good. It just keeps it from going bad. We are a preservative in our culture. God has put us into this rotting, decaying world in order to preserve it. We are to be an antiseptic impact on our society. Blessed, blessed, blessed Christians are to help to derail decay. And when Christians express their faith through their lifestyle, how they're living, listen, friends, society cannot help but be changed. Pastor Ray Pritchard puts it this way: we who follow Jesus Christ are to be a moral disinfectant, stopping the spread of evil. We are to be the conscience of the community, speaking out for what is true and right. So, friends, we looked at salt as a seasoning and salt is a preservative. Just one more. Salt creates thirst. How many of you have had that experience? You eat something salty and you feel very thirsty. I read that in some restaurants, not all, don't quote me. In some restaurants, they use lots of salt in food served from a smorgasbord or a buffet. Why? so that people can drink more water and therefore eat less food. Because when you're drinking water, man, you're getting food. As salty Christians, we should create a thirst within people for God, the people who do not know him. People who do not know God should be thirsty for him. A Christian should help people have the desire to drink from the living water of Jesus Christ that leads to everlasting life. John 4, verse 14, when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well concerning himself, this is what he said. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You see that? And we should make people thirsty for God. Amen? Just by our lives. There should be something about Christians that is different from the world. People should see evidence of the difference Jesus Christ is making in our lives. They should be able to look at you and I and say, I want what they've got. I want what they have. God uses, friends, he uses us to make people thirsty for Jesus. And let's look at Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Listen what it says. Let your conversation always be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So salt is a seasoning. Salt is a preservative. Salt creates thirst. But we come to the second part of this verse, friends. And this is very important, that salt loses its flavor, according to Jesus. In Matthew 5, verse 13, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Jesus went on to say, friends, that if the salt were to lose its flavor or saltiness, it wouldn't be good for anything. Now, technically speaking, and you know, there's some people here who love science and all that, right? Technically speaking, salt cannot lose its saltiness. Sodium chloride is a stable compound. However, wait now, you say, oh, Jesus messed up there. No, wait, hang on. During the time of Jesus, most salt was derived from marshes and lagoons and from rocks around the Dead Sea. And they contained impurities. Because this salt was an inferior quality due to the contamination or infiltration of foreign substances, it was sometimes spoiled and had to be thrown out. I was reading just this morning because it worried me that we're throwing good salt on the roads in the winter. No. The salt that is thrown on the roads in winter is less pure. It's halite or something. It's called halite. And it is full of impurities. That's why the color is gray or brown in color. That's why it is gray or brown in color. Full of impurities. I wonder how many times that has happened in our lives. When we take our eyes off Jesus and we live under our own power and we allow ourselves to be contaminated by the world, I wonder if we have perhaps lost our saltiness. some the impurities that come into our lives that we allow, we open the door for these impurities, can cause us to lose our savor. If we fail to be true to God's purpose for us, then what good are we to the world? If we dwell in this place only, doing it the way it always has been, what good are we to the world? If we bear the name of Christ but have lost our true essence as salt, then people will stop seeing us as useful for anything, and the name of Jesus will be abused, misused, and damaged. In much the same way, friends, if we lose our saltiness, our influence in the world, when we mix ourselves with the things of the world, people can't tell the difference, and we lose our saltiness. The phrase thrown out means to thrust out violently, fling. The word translated trampled has the idea of rejection with disdain. I'm told that savorless salt, tasteless salt is still used in Israel today as it is scattered on the pathways which people walk. Friends, if we are salt and not being salty, perhaps we can be called good for nothing Christians. Salt, friends, that just sit in the shaker does no good for anyone. Do you know that because we don't have meals in the church anymore, do you know there's a cupboard in the kitchen that has these little glass, beautiful little one, salt cells. Yes. You know that salt has been sitting there for years? Well, you don't have potlucks. Well, wait. Yeah, that salt has been sitting there. It's still wonderful, pure salt, but it's sitting there. You know, it might jolly well be thrown out. Keeping salt bottled up in our church and in our lives is keeping salt in the cupboard of Christianity. The church is not a warehouse for salt. It's supposed to be a dispenser. It's supposed to be a dispenser of salt. How? By shaking you and I in order to make contact with others for Jesus Christ and for us to make a difference. Let me conclude. When Christians get right with God and begin to express their Christianity through their lifestyle, through living for the Lord, righteous living, our neighborhoods, our workplaces cannot help but to be changed. God continues to bring revival and renewal to humankind in order to preserve the world until he comes. Friends, are you making a difference today? Listen, don't tell me I wish John was here or Patrick or whoever those guys are. You are here. Are you making a difference, or have you lost your saltiness? I mentioned his name last week. Let me tell you a little story here. Sunday, April 8th, 1945. German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was taken from his place of worship. He was taken from the worship service pretty much like this. He was busy preaching and ministering to prisoners in the concentration camp in Flossenbürg. And they came in and they arrested him, and he was tried and hanged just a couple weeks before the Allied forces liberated the prison camp. A doctor at the scene described Bonhoeffer's final moments. This is what the doctor says. Through a half-open door in one of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer before taking off his prison clothes, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so submissive to the will of God. Bonhoeffer believed the words of Jesus, even to the point of death. You, Dietrich, are the salt of the earth. Friends, when we receive those words, when we accept the words of Jesus, that we are the salt of the earth, that means we are called to do something which may even lead to persecution. We spoke about that last week. It will lead to ridicule and difficult decisions. It means radically obeying Jesus. It means that we should make a difference for Jesus. If we believe the words of Jesus, then we are the salt of the earth. Today and every day, friends, let's go out and preserve the world for Christ. Let's go out and show the world the seasoning they are missing. And let's go out there and make people thirsty for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for blessing us. We read your word. We studied your word. And we are blessed. And now with this blessed life, Lord, you want us to influence others, Lord, for you. Not to exalt ourselves, no. But you want us to influence others, to impact others for you, Lord. Help everyone here in Zoom, Lord, in their homes. Thank you for everyone in Zoom, Lord. Thank you for everyone in the sanctuary, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now we pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. All of us to be an influence for you. To add some spice to life. To make the people yearn for you, Lord. To make the people want to have you in their hearts too. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.